right now, from German and Irish settlers in the mid-19th century to people from Laos and Mexico more recently, Wisconsin has been shaped by many different groups of immigrants over the years. While they've all had unique experiences in the state, the anti-immigrant backlash they faced once they arrived has sounded remarkably similar over time. Our next guest says learning more about the history of that rhetoric can help us break the long cycle of stereotyping and have more productive discussions about the issues of immigration. Brett Barker is a professor of history at UW-Stephen Point's Wausau campus. He joins us now in our Wausau studio. Brett, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, besides Native Americans who were living in Wisconsin well before Europeans arrived, everyone else is descended ultimately from immigrants. Can you talk about some of the early years of people arriving in Wisconsin? Who are we seeing?
Right. So the earliest immigration in Wisconsin was largely sort of a Yankee mix, a lot of folks coming from New York and New England, but also a lot of English heritage and a few people coming up from the south into the lead region. But very quickly, sort of there also began more of an ethnic mix with Germans arriving and the Irish to some extent too.
Let's talk about those first kind of new immigrants, the Germans and the Irish coming to Wisconsin. What kind of reaction did they get from the previous generation?
It was very much mixed, particularly the Irish. Many of them often came with very little planning, many of them escaping the Great Potato Famine. So they came without a lot of money and they were destitute and they arrived on these shores whirling to work very hard but without much with them. And it was also a great deal of anti-Catholic bigotry in the 19th century, and that played against them since they were largely a Catholic people.
You gave a talk as part of a series here in the Wausau area that part two of the series is tonight in Wausau, and you showed cartoons, political cartoons showing what editorialists thought about Germans, Irish, and other immigrants. Can you describe some of what you found?
Right. The Irish in particular were often seen portrayed with whiskey bottles, the sort of typical that they tended to be fighting. So these sort of stereotypes that people had of the Irish. And so it was often a very negative portrayal. Germans too, there's often a fear of would they fit in? They continue to speak their own language. They stay by themselves. So many of those cartoons sort of portrayed that sort of negative imagery for those groups.
Are these recurring themes you see again and again? Let's take that second point first. They are going to keep speaking their own language. Yeah. They're not merging with the rest of society.
Every immigrant group that's said about them by the previous immigrant group that whose own family had done that previously. So it's a recurring theme that immigrants do not attain the language. And in fact, that's more complicated. First of all, depends on how old you are when you arrive. Older folks have trouble with language acquisition, are often slower to learn the new language. But also, because of things like the internet and television, immigrants today acquire the language a generation faster than immigrants did a century and a half ago, because it's everywhere if you want to pick up English. And so, in fact, the idea that, for instance, Spanish immigrants don't pick up the language is just not the case.
And then the Irish depicted with the whiskey bottle, that fear that this new group of people has some negative behavior, it might be different from group to group. Is that something we see recur?
Absolutely. Somehow they often have a drug attached to them or a negative behavior attached to them. And the idea is that somehow this will keep them from fitting in and becoming good citizens. And that's, again, a recurring theme until the new group actually then does fit in and then a new wave of immigration comes.
We are talking to Brett Barker, professor of history at UW-Stevens Point's Wausau campus, looking at the history of immigration here in Wisconsin and attitudes and reactions toward new communities as they arrive, from Germans and Irish in the 19th century to today. And Brett, a lot of times I think looking back, you say, well, that group, they assimilated well. They didn't kick up a fuss. You told a story in that talk of something called the Bennett Law in Wisconsin in 1889. Can you share that with
us? Yes. So in 1889, the state legislature passed a law that said that regardless of where a child attended school, they had to be taught the four basic reading, writing, arithmetic, and history in the English language. And this was particularly aimed at those teaching their children mostly in German parochial schools, to some extent maybe Norwegian too. And the Germans reacted very strongly to this and said, we have the right to teach our children whatever language we wish. And so what they did then is the Germans, who were generally just not – were active politically on the same level anyone else was – rose up and essentially kicked the governor out of the governor's office, and the Democrats took the governor's office for two terms in a way that they rarely did between the Civil War and the New Deal.
Did those German-speaking schools eventually just go away on their own?
Yes, the Bennett – well, no, they did eventually, but the Bennett Law itself was repealed 2 years later.
Okay.
And they went back to being able to teach German to their children in schools. And German parochial schools declined in the 19th and early 20th century. In some in a few places, it was into the middle of the 20th century before you have the last ones leaving.
Who were some of the next groups of people to come after the Germans and Irish?
So then there's a new wave that comes in the late 19th century, sometimes called the new immigrants, so they aren't new immigrants anymore, who come from southern and eastern Europe. So particularly if you think of ethnic Milwaukee, Serbs, Poles, Croatians, Russian Jews, Hungarians, the people from those parts of south and eastern Europe.
And there – and again, you had cartoons raising concerns that in one way or another they were going to be a fifth column in the United States, a hotbed of radicalism or under obligation to a foreign power.
Yes, that they were all somehow either beholden to their old the old emperor they came from, for where they came from, or that indeed they were some sort of radical who were going to undermine American democracy. That's right.
Now, given that these things happen again and again, do you – do we have kind of an amnesia sometimes? We forget that we've seen this story before?
I think that there's no question that being aware of the history of immigration I think would inform the current debate and just make us aware that these are patterns that recur and that they are concerns that people have had throughout the ages, but they're concerns that can be addressed in positive ways, and they're not always the problem people think they are.
It seems like after a certain amount of time the Germans who were viewed with suspicion, that German identity became part of the identity of the state. Same with Scandinavians in Wisconsin, Irish. You think of a place like Boston, where would it be without that Irish identity? When does that happen? How long does it happen before that becomes like that cherished part of history?
Well, I think there's two parts to the answer. In some ways, immediately cities like Milwaukee had a German reputation. As soon as the Germans arrived, it's had a German flavor to it ever since. But what's interesting is when the first generation comes and the second generation is often – the first generation wants the second generation to fit in and acquire language and get ahead in life. But then often that third and fourth generation reach back and sort of reclaim their ethnic heritage and get interested in festivals and the language and preserving the culture. So it kind of goes in patterns too.
Do you hope that whether it's in schools or just on our own time, we do more thinking about our immigrant history and the reactions to it?
I would hope so. I think particularly if people thought about many people out there who are of whose ancestors came as immigrants to the United States, came in a period before 1921 when essentially there is no restriction on immigration. And so even the term illegal alien doesn't really have a meaning until the 1920s. And so people came and they were able to come freely. And so now that people want – today, immigrants want to do the same thing, we should be recognized that they are aspiring for a better life and they see America as the place where they can gain that just as many of our ancestors did. And I actually think it would say a terrible thing about the United States if we ever got to a place where we were a place that people aspiring for a better life didn't want to come, because that would say bad things about our future, I think.
Brett, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Brett Barker is a professor of history at UW-Stephen Point's Wausau campus. He joined us in our Wausau studio to talk about the anti-immigrant rhetoric that different groups of immigrants in Wisconsin have faced over time.